Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Tuesday edition of Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. This is a live radio show, and we will be here for the next hour and 25 minutes, and we thank you for listening. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here.
And Fred Jackson.
Always good to be here.
And also Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray joins us from Kansas City. The three of us are in Tupelo. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Doing well. Now, this major winter storm that's going to hit the, I guess, a third or two-thirds of the U.S., I'm not sure exactly. Are you in that path?
We are right in the path. We're right now it's just gray and overcast, but there's snow and freezing rain and drizzle and all that other mess. It's just a few hours to the west of us. So, yeah, it's coming right through Kansas City and heading east.
Mm. It's hard to believe in 6 weeks the Kansas City Royals will be playing downtown, right?
Listen, I'm so ready for – I'm tired of this winter.
I know.
Really, I've had it with winter.
I know. We're all ready. Everybody's ready for some springtime.
How do you play baseball with parkas on?
I know. Well, a lot of places, you know, when professional baseball starts the 1st of April. Of course, college baseball and high school baseball are already underway, at least in the South it is. But I know in, professional baseball – starts in April, and there's always, you know, the ivy at Wrigley Field is dead till May, right?
Right.
It's brown.
It's just dead brown.
Dead brown. Yeah. So a lot of places in the country still be cold until May, for baseball at least. So much to talk about. We thank you for listening. Walker, if people want to listen and or watch on the internet this show, and who wouldn't?
Right.
Who wouldn't? Why? What do they need to do?
Well, a couple of different ways. You can watch the show by going to our Facebook page and our YouTube channel. Just type in Today's Issues on Facebook and YouTube. Just pick whichever one you'd like. Lastly, you can go to our website, afr.net, and you can listen live there 24/7, and you can catch past shows. So if you miss maybe half the show, you got to go back into work, go to lunch, or whatever, you can go to our website, afr.net, this afternoon and catch this whole show there.
Okay. Is that called a podcast?
Or? That's right. That's what they call it.
Podcast. All right, folks. We thank you for listening. Hey, real quickly, let me just tell you that our Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon Spiritual Heritage Tour in June is sold out, as is the Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown Tour in June. And we still have places available for both of those tours in September. So if you want to go with us, you simply, in September, on one of these spiritual heritage tours. Now, we do Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown for 3 days, and then we bus to D.C., and we do D.C. for 3 days. So, if you want to do both of them, obviously, if you're flying in from California or Arizona or Kansas City, for that matter, maybe you don't want to fly all the way to D.C. Just for one tour. You want to do Williamsburg and Washington. We can arrange for that as well. Just go to the website, SpiritualHeritageTours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com. Again, June is full. We do have a waiting list, but September still seats available, a few seats available for both September tours. Again, just go to the website, SpiritualHeritageTours.com. All right, Fred, lead us off. What's happening?
Bernie is back.
Sound like a song or a movie or something.
I guess it's good news for conservatives.
Bernie's back and you're going to be in trouble.
There you go.
Wait a minute. I got my songs.
My boyfriend's back.
That's right.
Okay. Now, Bernie Sanders announcing this morning that he is running for president in 2020. He wants to be the Democrat on the ticket in 2020. And basically, in making the announcement today, he says it's a continuation of his campaign back in 2016. 77 years old. And he's ready to have a go at it again. This is kind of how it sounded in his announcement. Cut number two.
Together, we can create a nation that leads the world in the struggle for peace and for economic, racial, social, and environmental justice. And together we can defeat Donald Trump and repair the damage he has done to our country.
Well, there you have it. You're going to hear a lot of that over the next...
I tell you, you know, Southerners get a lot of mockery from around the country for our accents, don't we, Ray?
We do.
And come on. That deserves a little mockery right there, right?
Yeah.
That fellow right there, the way he talks, mm-hmm. He talks funny. But anyway, that's right. He talks funny.
And what he says is funny.
what he says is how he says it's funny. Now, he's an outright socialist.
Sure he is.
Oh, yeah. He's Medicare for all, free college tuition. Public schools, free college.
You know, the thing that got me was the environmental justice.
Uh-huh.
Now, how's that going to work out?
Yeah, what does that even mean?
What does that mean, Ray? What do you think he's going after?
Fairness for the trees, right?
I don't know.
I think he's justice in quotes for these people, these secular progressive socialist people. That he's talking about very high taxation, a lot of regulation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making the, quote, rich pay their fair share. That's their mantra, you know. So, free stuff for everybody. He's for getting rid of or forgiving all college debt,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes,
right about
correct.
That?
Free college tuition.
And free medical care for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he goes along with Ocasio-Cortez on handing out money if you don't want to work. You still get a check from the government, but I mean that's what she's for. He's probably for that as well.
You know, on this topic of 2020 primary Democrat primary contestants, the one who I think is being underestimated and really blackmailed by the Democrats is this Howard Schultz,
mm-hmm.
the former Starbucks CEO.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got a lot of potential,
mm-hmm.
But the Democrats are pushing him out. They don't.
Well, because he'll hurt them.
Yes,
right.
He will hurt them.
Right? Don't you think so? He'll hurt them he'll be the Ross Perot in a three-way race if Schultz gets in.
Last thing they want is a successful businessman who built his business on capitalistic principles.
Right.
Yeah.
That goes against everything the Democratic Party stands for.
Right.
So they cannot let Howard Schultz get too popular.
But that just shows he pushed Starbucks. Schultz did. To the left. I mean, they were a left-wing company.
Socially.
Their policies,
social politics.
Their policies were left-wing policies. And, you know, as far as the bathroom, all that, everybody come in, you don't have to order anything. Things like that, the Christmas, you know, the barista's not saying Merry Christmas. So, but it just shows if you're not really, really, really far left, then you're not even welcomed in their circles, even if you've been traditionally known to be a left-wing
mm-hmm. Well,
CEO.
What you're faced with right now with the Democratic Party is a race to the left. Who can be the most left?
Until you fall off the end of the earth.
Yes.
Right.
That's what I say. Yeah.
Right.
They actually believe that there are enough votes out there that one of them is going to be successful over Donald Trump. Their job is to convince the American public that socialism works.
Right.
That's – and we're going to yesterday, President Trump was down in Miami, and he was talking about socialism down there. We're going to play that in just a second. But I tell you what.
Bernie's how old now? What is he?
Bernie's 77. So by the time he would take office in January 2021, he's almost 80.
I don't know. Does age matter anymore? I guess we'll find out.
It should matter, right? I mean— Are we ready to put a man in the most important job in the world who is almost 80 years old? I don't think that's going to fly with the American electorate, especially one who wants socialist.
So you think people factor that in more than their ideology or as much with somebody who's nearing 80, you're saying?
Well, it all goes together, right? You can't separate Bernie from his age.
Right.
Plus, he's a socialist. So if you put... Mr. Trump up against Bernie Sanders, Mr. Trump is going to win handily, I would think.
Yeah. I got to tell you, and I mentioned this before, and I'm not one to talk about people's physical appearance much, but if I were advising Bernie, I would definitely say get your hair cut or get you a comb over. of something. He didn't, you know, because that he does look like he stepped out of a picture with the founding fathers. You know what I'm saying? With that hair. That's free advice. So Bernie Sanders can take it.
Well, to your point, research has shown that voters do actually consider physical appearance.
Yeah.
It's a small factor, but people's minds kind of shift depending on physical appearance.
Well,
just before we move on, we got to go back, though, I think, to 2016. Bernie Sanders, despite his age and appearance,
right,
he had a lot of support amongst younger supporters of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
His policies resonated. So now what you have in the Democratic Party, because Senator Cory Booker has declared, Elizabeth Warren has declared, Kamala Harris has declared, they are all competing for the leftist side of things. This makes it very different from 2016. You've got a pile of far-left people. I mean, they make Joe Biden look conservative.
Brent, do you have our theme song prepared? Can you pull up our theme song for this cast of Democrats that are running for president? It's a Frank Sinatra's classic. If you could pull that song up and have it ready for us, I would like to pay tribute to this class of candidates. We'll do that in a minute. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What next story?
Well, she's not running for president in 2020, but AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
A person, not a condition.
She's continuing to get a lot of press. And I'll have to interrupt Brent here for just a second. We're going to play cut number one. She's getting a lot of attention for what she said just a few days ago. Cut number one.
No matter how you feel about the wall, you know, I think it's a moral abomination. I think it's like the Berlin Wall.
All right.
What?
So there you have it.
I'm sorry. We have a saying. I mentioned that. Okay. I mentioned that.
Oh, good.
There's a saying. If you go out in the country to a church, way out of town, and you get some old country boys, and they react into a sermon that they like, or something they hear, come again.
That's right.
Have you ever heard that expression, Ray?
Come again.
Come again.
That's right.
Come again.
Say what?
So I think, Brent, if we could hear that, if we could come again with this from, what's her name?
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Cut number one.
Let's hear this again. This is classic.
No matter how you feel about the wall,
you
know, I think it's a moral abomination. I think it's like the Berlin Wall.
She's a fruitcake. And that's an insult to fruitcake. If I were a Democrat operative, even if I agreed with her vision of the world, which is basically Bernie Sanders on steroids, sounds like to me, Walker, I would say she's given President Trump and the Republicans, as they say in the sports world, a billboard material. Good night every day.
Well, it's every day, and we saw that. But she's the media darling of the Democrat Party. I mean, the media loves putting her face on the screen, putting her sound bites on the radio. But
Why do you think? Because I think it hurts them.
Well, I think she does appeal to some young people,
right?
That are also low level thinkers. They've been through college, they've been brainwashed, and they tend to fall into this socialist trap. But we saw with the whole Green New Deal thing, I mean, she was forced to pull that from her website because it was that embarrassing. Okay. It was that embarrassing. So she's known to say things without thinking.
So there's two things here then. She doesn't believe in a wall at all, all right?
Right, she calls it immoral. She says it's like the Berlin Wall.
Immoral, right. Well, also, but the comparison to the Berlin Wall shows me historically.
That's why I get fruitcake.
She doesn't understand. The Berlin Wall was meant to lock people in. I don't understand that.
Right. That's communism. Right.
Keep the East Germans from escaping to freedom in West Germany.
Totalitarianism.
Yeah. So she's comparing it to that.
Yes, she is. Yeah, that's why she's fruitcake. I say that with all due respect, I guess.
So just in the last 7 days, she drove 25,000 jobs out of New York City, where she lives.
Right.
True.
Said, Amazon, get out of here.
Even the left-wing mayor is mad at her.
Yes.
Yeah, and the governor. Who's far lefty, too. They're mad at her. Now, we have Before I play this tribute song, and I'm not going to do this every day, but I do think every once in a while we need to honor these folks, this parade. So if we were looking at a, if we were at a Ringling Bailey and Barnum and Bailey Circus, and these names were announced, just announce them in order, Fred, and then we'll play their the tribute song.
Bernie Sanders.
That have announced for president. Bernie Sanders.
Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren.
Pocahontas.
Bracket Pocahontas.
Okay. Cory Booker.
Cory Booker.
Yeah. Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris.
And there's one or two
Minnesota
others.
Lady.
Way down the list.
Senator.
Yeah.
Yes. Started snowing on her. What was her name?
Klobuchar.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's...
Send in the clowns.
Okay. Well, that's just one line from this classic.
Isn't it bliss?
Isn't it bliss?
Isn't it bliss? Frank Sinatra.
You're a socialist.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here. Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, and Ray Pritchard. Next story.
All right. Well, let's stay with our socialist theme for just a second. On the flip side of all of this is President Donald Trump. He traveled down to Miami yesterday, where the focus of his attention was a speech about what's going on in Venezuela. But he certainly made no bones about it. He says Venezuela is going down because of its socialist policies. And he referred to the currently there Maduro as a Cuban puppet. Cut number 8.
The twilight hour of socialism has arrived in our hemisphere. And frankly, in many, many places around the world. The days of socialism and communism are numbered. I ask every member of the Maduro regime, end this nightmare of poverty, hunger, and death for your people. Let your people go.
Let your people go. So that's the theme. I mean, and he's drawing, and I think President Trump is, it's very deliberate. He is drawing a contrast between what he believes in, capitalism,
mm-hmm.
and what is happening in socialist countries like Venezuela, extreme poverty, socialist policies that have driven the economy and raised the numbers of people in poverty to historic highs. Venezuela used to be very successful. Remember the days when it was one of the world's leaders in oil production? Mm-hmm. Money was flowing into that country. And so historically speaking, in a relatively short period of time, it has come to something below third world class in the world in what has happened there. People are trying to escape. People are trying to get out of there. You know, one of those who escaped back several years ago, he was interviewed on Fox last night by Martha McCollum. He's a young man. His name is Daniel DiMartino. Here's what he has to say about his experience growing up in Venezuela, and what happened when they embraced socialism. Cut number 5.
I hear exactly what I heard back in Venezuela from the same socialist regime that told us that everything was a right. Healthcare was a right, housing was a right, jobs were a right. But in reality, when everything is a right, according to the government, nothing really is. Now everyone is either unemployed or hyperinflation has consumer wages. My family, Martha, we were upper middle class in 1989, and we ended up earning just $2 a day by the time I left. People are starving in Venezuela because policies such as the one that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in her Green New Deal, which in reality is just the Red New Deal, which is just a socialist wish list, would destroy the U.S. economy and lead us into the path of Venezuela.
I predict that young man will never be interviewed on CNN or ABC or NBC or these other networks because he lived it. And he's telling us what happened mm-hmm. when they adopted full socialism, which is what these Democrat candidates want to do in this country.
Ray, do you think socialism hurts the Democrats with the American electorate?
You know, I think Mr. Trump was exactly right when he said in the State of the Union that America will never be a socialist nation. He was speaking, you know, to the heartland, to the great middle of the American public. Americans as a people do not want government control of the economy. We're a free market nation. So, do I think it hurts the Democrats in the long run? Absolutely. Look, I think from our point of view as conservatives, we would love for a left-wing Democrat to run in 2020 on a socialist platform. Mm-hmm. In my judgment, that would guarantee Mr. Trump would win a second term. Americans do not like socialism as a nation. We're against it. So it may help them. Right. The Democratic Party is in the thrall of far left ideology. Mm-hmm. It may help them now. I can't see that it would help them in 2020.
Yeah, I agree, Ray. And it'll help them in the primary because they're trying to appeal to their base. But their left wing base in California and New York and Illinois, those voters are not gonna win them in the general. They're not gonna take them over the top in the general. President Trump, the way he won is he appealed to the blue collar workers in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan,
Wisconsin.
That's how he won.
Didn't he win Wisconsin? I think
yes.
he did.
Yeah. Yeah, and did. So running as the if the Democrats run a campaign to abolish coal working jobs and to abolish the middle class, I mean the middle class jobs, the blue collar jobs, that's a loser. And so we saw that with Hillary Clinton. And it seems like they haven't learned.
Yeah, we are a divided country. So I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, when President Trump runs against one of these Democrats, whoever it turns out to be, how that election goes. Because if you adopt any one of these Democrats that's announced so far, with the exception of Schultz, who's mm-hmm. is he going to run as an independent?
Yes.
Okay,
so Democrats don't want him.
Okay, he would run as an independent if he runs, but it would be a stark contrast on economic policies, certainly, between any of these Democrats and President Trump, and it would be interesting to see what the American people do. I do agree with you guys. You would think that it would hurt the Democrats in favor of the Republicans, namely Trump and his reelection. But it may help the Republicans regain the House back. But as I say, free stuff is awful appealing to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And you can't out free stuff Democrats.
Especially when they don't understand the consequences.
Or where you get the money from.
Or where the money comes from.
Right.
If you don't understand any of that framework or the history behind it, then of course it's
somebody
appealing.
Says to a 25-year-old, "I'm going to wipe your $30,000 of student loan debt out.
Yeah,
please vote for me."
Right.
And another guy says, "No, you racked up that debt. You're going to have to be a responsible adult and pay it back. Who are you going to vote for?" Mm-hmm. you see that kind of thing?
Sure.
Somebody says to you, "Your doctor's visits are free from here on out." And And another guy says, "No, you need to pay for that." Or you need to have insurance, or you need to work out. Okay, who are you going to vote for? Are you going to vote for somebody who says you get it for free, or somebody says, no, you need to pay for it? You see what I'm saying?
Well, I think to counter that thinking, what you have to say to all these people who just got jobs in the last year and a half or 2 years, you have to say to them, you know that nice tax benefit that you got? Mm-hmm. A Democrat's going to wipe that out.
Mm-hmm. I do think half the country understands that. That you can't get something for nothing.
Right.
But you do have a lot of people who are gullible or who are greedy or who are envious or who violate the 10th commandment.
Right.
They're jealous of others. So they say, stick it to the rich man.
Right.
You know, and whatever rich is somebody who's got more money than you. Right.
Yep.
So anyway, it's going to be interesting to see. But President Obama... His ideology was probably not economically. I'm talking about was not quite as extreme as the list of candidates now that are Democrat. At least he wasn't public with it. We'll be back with more in a couple of minutes. Today's issues, the program.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
If we truly want to see our world transformed, our world revitalized, we should focus on our families. If the families can be revitalized. The world would be transformed because everybody's a member of somebody's family.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, on our spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C., we go to the Supreme Court. That's one of the places we go on day one, and we visit the inside chambers. We go to where the justices sit, and it's an amazing place to visit, the Supreme Court of the United States. We don't just look at the outside. We go to the inside and see where the justices sit and where oral arguments are heard. So that's just one of the places we visit on one of the days when Washington, D.C., and we also go to Mount Vernon, the home of George and Martha Washington. So we're going in September. June's full. September will be filling up soon. If you want more information on this Spiritual Heritage Tour, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. It's never a good idea to point a gun at a Trump supporter. That story next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. Dateline Overland Park, Kansas, a 14-year-old boy was harassed by a store worker for wearing a Make America Great Again hat. It happened at Vans, a skating board apparel store. The worker cursed out the kid. The boy's mother confronted the guy. He refused to apologize, so she went to his boss. That worker is now unemployed. And in Bowling Green, Kentucky, a guy threatened to kill a couple wearing MAGA hats. Police say James Phillips pulled out a gun in a Sam's Club, told the husband and wife it was a good day for them to die. The Trump supporters stood their ground. The man did not fire the gun. Police quickly intervened. Do you understand what's happening in our country, folks? This is what happens when leftists demonize conservatives, and it's got to stop. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Today's Issues, American Family Radio, is the network. Glad to have you with us. A couple ways to catch up with the show. You can visit our website, afr.net, afr.net. We're also on multiple apps, so you can download the app on your smartphone, the American Family Radio app. Also, we're on Roku and Amazon Alexa, so you can just type in AFR or American Family Radio in the App Store on Roku or Amazon Alexa and listen to AFR in your kitchen or on your drive to work. Multiple ways to keep up with American Family Radio. Walker Wildman here, Dr. Ray Pritchard in Kansas City co-hosting with us, and then Fred Jackson, news director, here in studio with us. Fred, bring us some more news for today.
Well, I just, you know, we've been having a discussion about socialism. I would invite you, well, we just, for the last couple of days, have had a column on onenewsnow.com from our good friend Star Parker. Hmm. And it's called Socialism Has Already Hurt America. And she does an excellent job with explaining just that, what socialism is already doing to our country. You know, we're talking about these candidates who are out there promoting the idea, and they want to be elected on a platform of socialist policies. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that we have millions of younger people in this country who have now come through, you know, an education system and who are, you know, taking in social media, which is promoting socialism without being honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Star Parker makes that point. And that's what I think we have to do is educate people as to, okay, what countries in the world are socialist countries right now? Let's have a look at how they're living compared to the life that we enjoy here in America.
Yeah.
You know, is socialized medicine really what you want? Where does the money come from to pay for, quotation marks, free tuition? What does climate change policy actually mean? Where is it going to take you? I mean, the left has already put it out there. The Green New Deal, the details that we got on that. Stop and think about that for a moment, folks. The kinds of things that are being talked about.
My dad used to say, he taught me, he said, the Don Wildman, the founder of this ministry, he used to tell me that the free enterprise system undergirded with the Christian value system has done the most good for the world in history in terms of benefiting mankind.
Yes.
And so, yes, you can have the free enterprise system if it's completely devoid of Christian values. Of course, you can just get into raw greed and, you know, and people, you know, you can say sell drugs, you know, and make money. You know what I'm saying? If that's all you want to do. So there is money to be made in sin, but if you have the Christian value system undergirding that system, then you can do you can do worlds of good, as we've seen over the history of our country. Wealth is a good thing, folks. Wealth is a good thing, and it helps if used wisely. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, we want to welcome to our program Brad Phillips. He's the president of Persecution Project Foundation, and he is serving the persecuted church in restricted areas of East Africa. I saw Brad the other day at an event that I was attending, that he was also there, and we talked about what he was doing. His dad and my dad have been friends for a long time. Brad's dad passed away a few years ago. Howard Phillips, many of our listeners are familiar with that name. He was a very prominent figure in the conservative movement during the 70s and 80s and 90s. But Brad's doing something different. He's doing some work in Africa, and I wanted him to come on and talk about that. Brad, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
We're doing well. Had to leave sunny Florida where I saw you last, and now it's raining at 45 where I am. Is weather nice where you are today?
It's pretty good.
I need to hear about that. It was just a question I needed a yes-no on, Brad. I'm just kidding with you. Hey, Brad, tell us about your ministry, your work.
Persecution Project is a Christian ministry to the persecuted in Africa, and this is my 21st year involved with Sudan, and my first trip to the Nuba Mountains, which is a Christian enclave there in northern Sudan, was back in 1998. But our focus of our ministry is active compassion for the persecuted, and we're trying to come along in fellowship with the persecuted church there and be a resource to them.
In Sudan, you're talking about.
That's right.
Now, you have a movie out. I want to get back to what's going on in the Sudan specifically, but people come in and out of their radio, in and out of their cars, listening to the radio. You have a short feature film that people can go and watch that explains what's happening to our brothers and sisters there. I'm talking about our Christian brothers and sisters there. Go ahead.
So we just produced a film called Medina's Song, and you can find that at medinassong.com or at persecutionproject.org. We have a 60-second trailer for people with a shorter attention span. And if you can focus, you can watch the whole film on medinassong.com or persecutionproject.org. It's been my privilege to meet a lot of my heroes working in Sudan. And one of the heroes I met about 7 years ago is a young lady by the name of Medina, who's a believer who's standing up for her faith in a very difficult situation there in the Nuba Mountains.
All right, so you're talking about the Sudan. Where is the Sudan? East Africa?
Yeah, the Sudan is in on the edge of East Africa and North Africa. It's the crossroads between Arab North Africa and Sub-Saharan Black Africa. And up until 2011, it was the largest country in physical size in Africa. Then in 2011, it split. And the Nuba Mountains found itself on the north side of that split in northern Sudan. And it's a Christian enclave about the size of the state of Georgia or the size of Rwanda and Burundi together. So it's significant because you have 5 million ethnic Nubians living in an Arab Islamic state, and more than 2 million of those Nubians identify as Christian. So the government there really views them as a threat to their Islamo-fascist system.
So tell us about Medina.
Well, Medina is a young lady who works in one of the Christian schools that we support there in a little place called Kurarok in the Nuba Mountains. And she just, you know, if you watch the film, you just really get a sense of her courage and her spirit. But everybody in the Nuba Mountains has undergone severe persecution. In 2011, the genocide that was started 30 years ago was resurrected, and the government started by massacring about 5,000 Nuba Christians.
Why?
In the capital, in the UN compound, and then from 2011 up to now, they've dropped more than 4,000 bombs on churches, schools, hospitals, and marketplaces. So Medina's one of the women trying to live in that situation. Mm-hmm. The Christians in the Nuba Mountains have made a decision to live there and face assault from the air, bombardment, rather than move into the towns in other parts of northern Sudan where they have to mm-hmm. be Sharia law. So mm-hmm. she's seen all kinds of things. A lot of her friends have been killed, members of her family. The last child, she's got three kids, and their youngest one was born in the middle of a bombardment. She managed to survive that. So she's just a courageous lady. And she said, you know, I wish I was born a man so I could be a soldier, but since I can't, I use my songs to fight. So she's there in a Christian school, and she's not only sharing the gospel with these kids, but she's encouraging them to stand up and be courageous in the middle of a very oppressive regime.
A lot of us here in America, Christians, you know, we never experienced anything like what Medina has and what the Christians are in the Nuba Mountains there in Sudan that you reach out to and you minister to. You live over there?
I live in Nairobi, Kenya. And we manage about 25 projects in the Nuba Mountains. So because I was raising my kids over there, I had them in an American school there in Nairobi.
Right.
But all of our projects are up there in Sudan. So it's like a little bit of a commute.
Yes. One other question I had about this, and that is the Sudan, as I understand it, the Muslims live in the northern part, the Christians, and of course you're describing some of the Christians there, maybe the predominant number, in the Nuba Mountains in the southern part of Sudan. Is it as simple as this?
It's really not.
Let me ask you this question. Is the situation as simple as this? The Muslims are trying to subjugate the Christians to make them worship Allah and turn from Christianity, and so they use force to do it and persecution to do it. Is that true?
That statement is true. There's many layers to the onion, but
okay.
Just so your listeners understand, you know, South Sudan is now its own country, and the Nuba people are not part of South Sudan culturally or historically. And that was the narrative that you gave was true of South Sudan. North Sudan is still comprised of dozens and dozens of different ethnic groups. And the regime in Khartoum, which seized power 30 years ago by force, imposed this Arab Islamic system. And they were an ethnic, religious, and political minority. And all the other groups, whether they were Christian, animist, or Muslim, were not the same stripe of radical extremist Islam as that government. The Nuba community within northern Sudan happened to be the largest community of Christians in northern Sudan, and they have a history that goes back to ancient Nubia. And the interesting thing is, Tim, is that over centuries and waves of Islamization and Arabization, the Moors coming down, the Nubian Christian kingdoms were all but wiped out. But some of those people from Nubia ended up in this place called Southern Kordofan. And because of that relationship, those hills in Southern Kordofan were named the Nuba Hills or the Nuba Mountains. In 1917, missionaries came back to the Nuba Mountains under the British administration of Sudan. And in 1922, you had the first convert to Christianity. Now, today, there are 5 million Nuba people in northern Sudan. Mm-hmm. And out of those 5 million people, from one convert in 1922, you've got now more than 2 million Nuba who identify as Christian. So that's why it's a different story than the one we've heard years ago about South Sudan. These are real believers living under real persecution. Bombs are being dropped on churches, schools, and hospitals. More than 4,000 bombs since 2011. And you have a vibrant church because of that persecution. These are mountain people. They're self-reliant. They're resilient. And they are aggressively going out trying to fulfill the Great Commission. So we're engaged in the fellowship and association with several thousand Christian workers there, doing conferences and workshops, and we're getting testimonies all the time of Muslims coming to Christ. But this is the fifth column against radical Islamic terror, because these believers are a real threat to Sharia law there.
Okay. Well, give your information how people can learn more about what you're doing and Medina's story and all that.
Thank you, Tim. I really appreciate that. I encourage everybody to go to persecutionproject.org or to medinasong.com and take a look at the trailer, take a look at the film if you have time. We're building a hospital. We're Persecution Project supplies 75% of the medicine that's in the Nuba Mountains. And there's 173 clinics and 7 rural hospitals. We're building a hospital in Medina's community that's one of those 7 rural hospitals, a maternity ward. You can find out about that at that landing page, medinasong.com or persecutionproject.org.
Okay. Thank you, Brad. Take care. God bless you, my friend.
Tim, thank you so much. God bless you.
That's Brad Phillips. He's president of Persecution Project Foundation. Have you traveled to that part of the world, Ray? I know you've been around the world.
I have been to Uganda and Kenya, which is right next door to South Sudan. In the area Brad's talking about, it's further north. I mean, you're talking about a couple of million Christians up in the mountains of northern Sudan, surrounded by these radical Muslims. And in that little trailer, the video you were talking about, this Medina is telling the kids, she's teaching them to identify planes that are coming from the radical Islamofascist. When you see this plane, she says, run for the mountains. And the kids repeat that. And you see the bomb holes in the ground. So these are Christians who are under deadly assault in the Nuba Mountains. And so God bless Brad and his team who are, we don't even hear about the Nuba people here in the West. So God bless Brad for standing up for the persecuted church.
You know, this is a teaching moment, too, I think, for our listeners, for all of us. Ray, and I'd like you to, you don't know what I'm going to ask, but I'm going to ask you this question, and we haven't talked about this prior to me asking this question, but I would like you to go into it. Maybe you do, Fred and Walker. There is a, in Christianity, let me just start with Islam first. The teaching in Islam is that Allah is the supreme being. So it is a monotheistic religion, right, Ray?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you have Allah is the supreme being of the universe. His prophet is Muhammad. That's akin to what we think Jesus is in the not the Son of God, but a prophet. But they revere him in the same way. Muslims do. Right. And then they have the Quran is their holy book, like we have the Bible. Okay. However, this is where things begin to separate. The Islamic teaching is that you, as I used the word earlier, you force your religion on people. You subjugate the infidel, or you kill him or her. That's the reason they do suicide bombings, because they are pleasing Allah so they can go to paradise by killing off the non-believer, which is Buddhists, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Christians,
Jews,
atheists, whatever. That's the infidel to the true believing Muslim. Now, here's what I want to say. So they believe in force to promote their religion around the world. And that's historically accurate, no doubt about that. Now, Ray, what is the way that Christianity, by contrast, spreads our religion? We want to convert people too, but how are we supposed to do it?
You know, maybe it goes back to your whole conception of who God is, because in Islam, God, Allah, he's almost unknowable. He's a distant being. He's God, but we talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, right? We say that all the time. There isn't any real corresponding statement you could say in Islam. They don't talk about having a personal relationship with Allah. You submit to him, you obey him, but you never really know him. Whereas in Christianity, the very heart of it all is our God is a God of love. And you may say, well, that's just theology. No, that's the whole difference right there. Mm-hmm. That the God of the Bible is a God of love who proved it when, for the sins of mankind, for the sins of the whole world, he gave himself through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead. So there is a radical difference between Christianity and Islam in understanding who God is and how much we can know him. So when Christians send missionaries to the ends of the earth, when it's done rightly, it's done out of deep love and deep compassion, because we who are sinners and lost have received the love of God, and therefore we didn't deserve it. We want to take what God has given to us, freely given to us, and we want to share it, that love, with the whole wide world. That's why when Christianity is understood rightly, we're not about going someplace and wiping out villages and killing people. That's not the heart of our faith. The heart of our faith is to share the love of God. There's no complimentary statement that would really fit Islam in those terms. It's the love of God versus a God who is almost completely unknowable, yet you still must submit to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, Ray. And it also ties directly into the conversation as to whether the United States can nation build overseas,
right,
in foreign countries, specifically in the Middle East. We've been trying for 20 plus years to nation build, whether it be in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, etc. The problem is, and goes directly into what we're talking about, is that Islam does not believe in individual liberty, individual freedom. And so that squashes the whole idea of having a free market. Hard work means you produce, you know, your fruit.
Well, voting.
Voting, yeah, exactly. Sure. So it's very oppressive, and that's why we cannot nation build in the Middle East until the people there change their hearts and minds.
You have to freedom and liberty is not the norm in human history, and self-government.
Right.
It's just not. It's quite as... and it's certainly in Islam, that's why you have kings in Islam. You have kingdoms like Saudi Arabia, for example. You had, or you have secular dictatorships like Saddam Hussein, or you have the Ayatollahs, the religious leaders who rule with an iron fist in Iran, for example. That's just the norm in Islam, that, as you say, Walker, they don't believe in individual freedom, because to allow for individual freedom or liberty or choice is to blaspheme Allah, because Allah demands complete and total, you know, commitment, and including the government forcing people to submit to Islam. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. So, in conclusion, we Christians, the Bible teaches we're to use moral persuasion, our reason, are sharing our testimony. We don't, in order to see people convert to Jesus Christ and become followers of Christ. And if that doesn't work, the Bible says we're to dust off our feet and move on to the next person to tell them about the love of God through Jesus Christ and the need to repent of our sin. That's the gospel message, or at least part of the gospel message. So that's contrasted with Islam, which believes in force. That's why oftentimes in Africa you see where Christians and Muslims, are in conflict. It's the Muslims trying to force the Christians to convert and the Christians resisting that. See, that's what goes on. And so when you resist, sometimes by necessity, you have to use a gun to protect your family or your community or your village or your church or whatever. When you use a gun, then you get into a physical fight. And then the news media comes in and they says there's a civil war here, okay, between, and the Christians, boy, they just slaughtered these Muslims. You see what I'm saying? You see how this thing goes?
Sure.
Oftentimes it's presented that way. And I'm not saying Christians can't make mistakes. I'm just saying, as Ray said, Fred, Christianity is spread through persuasion.
That's right.
Not the end of a gun.
You know, the story that Brad Phillips just told us from North Sudan there,
yeah,
how these 2 million Christians are constantly, and this film he talked about, Medina,
right,
teaching kids to watch for these planes that are going to come in and try to kill them. My question is, probably for a lot of our listeners, that story is the first time they've heard that story of what's happening,
right,
with Christians,
right,
in that part of the world.
Right.
My question also is to the United Nations, why don't we have resolutions condemning the Muslims who are trying to kill these 2 million Christians?
No, I got to go up to Israel.
Exactly. Exactly. Look at all the resolutions.
What about the human rights violations all over the world in China every day? They don't go after China. It's all about Israel. Because they hate the Jews and they hate Christians and they hate the idea of Israel having their own state and they hate the great state in the U.S. So, I mean, this is all.
So the United Nations is willing to allow Christians to be persecuted because they don't want to offend the Muslims who are doing this.
Right.
I mean, that's a reality. But Israel is the bad guy all the time.
Right.
Because
they're
under attack by Muslims, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I just wanted to go into that and appreciate Ray's perspective, having traveled in Africa. And we do need to pray for our brothers. Boy, you just hear these stories, especially in Africa and other places where our Christian brothers and sisters are persecuted, physically persecuted. It goes on around the world. I think of China. I think of the Muslim countries. I think of, in Africa and other places. It's spiritual warfare as well, as the Bible describes it. We got time. We got 1 minute. You got anything?
Update the Jussie Smollett story.
Okay.
All right. In case you're not familiar with that name, he is the star of Empire, of which...
One of the stars.
One of the stars. Yeah. January 29th, he said he was attacked. He was on his way home, 2 o'clock in the morning, with a Subway sandwich. And a couple of guys...
I already don't believe you.
Crying out that,
right.
That this is Chicago, January 29th.
Right.
It was well below freezing.
It was zero.
Yeah, it was really, really cold. 2
Incredibly
o'clock in the morning,
cold.
Got me a Subway sandwich.
Right.
I'm
right.
heading home. Two guys attack me. They throw some kind of chemical at me. They put a noose around my neck. And, boy, it was bad.
Yeah, we'll talk about this more after the news. But you're right. This is a big story today because this gay or homosexual actor who says he was a victim of a hate crime in Chicago is now turning out that it was a hoax.
A hoax.
And I'm shocked. I know many of you are, too.
Well, one of the other things we learned, his two sisters, Smollett's two sisters, worked for the Barack Obama election campaign.
Right.
Good friends with the Obamas.
And this fella has tweeted against President Trump. But let me just put it this way. It's appearing more and more that it's an outright hoax. Let me just say it that way. I guess it's inconclusive yet, but it's 90% certain this was an absolute fraud that this guy tried to put over on the American people. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.